Radio Prague News.
Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico and Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas have said relations between both countries are excellent on occasion of the Slovak leader's visit to Prague on Friday. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has commented on planned protests to take place on Saturday and the victim of a highly publicized hit-and-run accident involving controversial lobbyist Roman Janošek has been released from hospital. Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico visited Prague on Friday on his first foreign trip since his re-election last month. Mr. Fico met with his Czech counterpart Petr Nečas. The two leaders agreed that relations between both countries were excellent and pledged to further expand cooperation between both nations. Both leaders said that while their governments differed on some key issues such as EU policies, this did not affect the quality of Czech-Slovak relations. Mr. Fico added that it was not his place to comment on the decision of the Czech government to not join the EU's fiscal compact. The Slovak leader is also set to meet with President Václav Klaus and the head of the Social Democrats Bohuslav Sobotka. Commenting on a protest to take place in Prague on Saturday with an expected turnout of about 100,000 citizens, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said that while people have the right to freely express their opinions, this needs to happen within the limits of what is legal. He added that similar protests were taking place across Europe and that it was everyone's right to take their discontent to the street. Organizers of the protest are demonstrating against Mr. Nečas's government and its austerity measures. The woman who became the victim of a hit-and-run driver and the influential lobbyist Roman Janošek was released from hospital on Friday. The 51-year-old Vietnamese woman was treated at a Prague hospital for 4 weeks following the accident. According to hospital staff, the woman's state of health is stable, but she will not yet be able to return to work. Her sister-in-law, who was in the car at the time of the accident, already testified in the case. Mr. Janošek was drunk driving when he ran over the woman. He left the site of the accident without helping his victim. The accident received a lot of media attention. It happened days after allegations of corruption involving the influential entrepreneur and former Prague mayor Pavel Bem became public. The Czech Dental Chamber has slammed a planned healthcare reform which it claims will increase administrative tasks for dentists while at the same time creating disadvantages for patients. The chamber has demanded a speedy renegotiation of problematic points from the government. Among the changes the Dental Chamber criticizes is the introduction of a new regulation that requires both parents to give approval to their child being treated by a dentist. While dentists believe that such approval should be necessary only for serious procedures, the health ministry would like to see mandatory approval from both parents introduced for all types of dental treatment of minors. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mostly overcast with rain showers in places and daytime highs of around 16 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Borufka and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey, many thanks for tuning in. Today, renegade MPs from the splintered Public Affairs Party are scrambling to find more support to avoid a collapse of the government on Monday. After that, we'll have the news from the week in business. And in today's feature, The Arts, we talk with Canadian opera singer Melanie Gall, who will be performing at this year's American Spring Festival. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The fate of the centre-right Czech government hangs in the balance after the junior coalition party Public Affairs split up, robbing the government of its comfortable majority in the lower house. The newly emerging pro-government faction around defector Karolina Pík is now trying to rally enough deputies to secure a viable majority in the lower house, but the key players on the Czech political scene are already preparing for early elections. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Midway through its four-year term, the centre-right cabinet faces the worst crisis in its existence. The junior public affairs, from the start an unreadable and unpredictable coalition partner, has broken up. The faction loyal to its founder and informal leader, Vít Bárta, recently sentenced for corruption, is tarred by scandal and is no longer a partner the Civic Democrats and Top 09 want to rule with. The faction around defector Deputy Prime Minister Carolina Peak may not be able to muster enough support to allow the government to continue, aside from having no name, no political base and being of questionable legitimacy. Prime Minister Petr Nečas, whose party earlier this week moved to end the coalition agreement with public affairs, on Thursday stated the conditions under which he was prepared to continue in office with a newly emerging faction around Carolina Peak.
The Civic Democrat leadership has concluded that the only viable coalition agreement which would enable the pro-reform government to continue in office is an institutionalized agreement based on the support of three legitimate deputies group in parliament. We are not prepared to rely on a loose group of deputies rounded up in haste to produce the required number. That is not a safe majority, and in such a case we would be ready to face early elections at the end of June.
Deputy Prime Minister Carolina Peak is refusing to say how many deputies have rallied behind her, though unofficial sources now speak of 8, too short of the number needed to set up a deputies group in the lower house and make up the safe majority which the Prime Minister has requested. Although Mrs. Peak recently admitted she may have miscalculated the strength of her support group, she remains cautiously optimistic and has until Monday to produce her team.
I would very much like to succeed in putting together a new deputies group. What I offer is blood, sweat and tears, but also the chance to do honorable politics and save face.
Given the number of undecided MPs, she may just pull it off, but the key players on the scene have already started preparing for snap polls in a big way. If things should swing in favour of early elections, then the country would be in for a frenzied election campaign. Meanwhile, a massive trade union protest against the government and its reform programme scheduled for Saturday remains in place, with 45,000 protesters expected to march through Prague. Trade union leader Jaroslav Zavadil says the split of public affairs to produce a clean faction was a premeditated move to extend the government's lease on life.
This whole affair with public affairs is a scam, and I'm convinced we will see evidence of it later. This is not about blood, sweat and tears. This is about money.
A flash opinion poll conducted this week indicates certain victory in general elections for the opposition parties, with the Social Democrats getting 37% of the votes and the Communists 20%. Centre-right, the Civic Democrats would get 17.5%, Top 09 11.5% and the Christian Democrats 5.5%.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarova. This is Radio Prague. Next up on our program, a look back at the week's events in business and economics.
The government approved the final draft of the state financial statement this week. According to the statement, the national budget posted a 142.8 billion crown deficit in 2011. The original plan anticipated a 135 billion crown deficit, the difference being put down to problems withdrawing subsidies from EU funds. The Czech Republic's public finance deficit dropped to 3.1% of the GDP last year, 0.6 points less than the government's projection of 3.7. Nonetheless, Prime Minister Nečas noted that this was no reason to rejoice, saying the public finance deficit was better because of decreased investment activity on the part of municipalities and universities. He added that it was clear that efforts aimed at fiscal austerity must continue.
The aforementioned problems with drawing money from EU funds could increase expenditures in the state budget by up to 32.6 billion crowns. An analysis from the Regional Development Ministry taken up by the government this week showed that roughly 17 billion crowns worth of expenditures cannot be covered from the EU because of irregularities, i.e. grants that the state may have to cover because they are suspected of having been paid out improperly. More than 61 million in improper grants have been ruled out by the EC already. The rest of the amount consists of expenditures that the country will not ask the EU to cover in the end, projects such as transportation work that went over budget due to overtime, for example.
The Finance Ministry intends to issue new bonds for households with interest rates pegged to the rate of inflation. The bonds worth 10 to 20 billion will be issued in June and will have maturities of 7 to 8 years. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said this week that he wanted to offer the middle class protection from inflation. The bonds will not bring any yields but will be the only product with which the state guarantees that savings will not be devalued. According to the ministry's latest forecast, the average inflation rate should reach 3.3% this year and 2.3% next year. Last autumn, the ministry tested household bonds worth 10 billion, which have proved immensely popular.
Czech arms manufacturers and others serving the defense industry will now be able to compete for tenders in the largest of all such markets, the USA. As per an agreement signed this week by Czech Defense Minister Alexander Vondra and his American counterpart Leon Panetta, Czech entities can now make their bids directly. Previously, American legislation required that offers be accepted primarily by U.S. companies, which meant that Czechs and others could only acquire subcontracts. Mr. Vondra called the agreement the most important step the country has made in its relations with the U.S. in the last year, noting that of the 20 countries with which the U.S. has signed similar agreements, the Czech Republic and Poland are the only ones from the former Soviet bloc. At the same NATO conference, the Czech and American foreign ministers also met to discuss the American company Westinghouse's bid for the completion of the Temelín nuclear power plant.
Though you wouldn't know it by the packed beer gardens, Czechs are apparently drinking less brew than ever before. According to an analysis from the Czech Statistical Office, while every person in the Czech Republic drank a record 164 litres of beer a year in 2005, that amount fell to less than 145 litres in 2010, a record low. The Czech Association of Brewers has noted the same trend. Their research shows that the average weekly consumption of 9.5 mugs among Czech men in 2007 fell to 7.7 last year. That is, of course, not to say that Czechs are drinking any less. Winemakers are still reveling in a 20-year steady rise in consumption, which peaked in 2010 at 19.4 litres per person per year.
If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Later on in the show, we'll have another episode of our language learning program, The ABCs of Czech. But first, it's time for this week's Arts, brought to you by Jan Wellinger.
In this week's Arts, my guest is Canadian opera singer Melanie Gall, a soprano who has performed around the world, including in Israel, Italy, France, and the Czech Republic. This week, she dropped by Radio Prague studio to discuss upcoming performances at this year's American Spring Festival. She's a charming guest with a great sense of humor, and Melanie talks not only about what she'll be performing while in Prague, but also about opera in general. Melanie Gall.
Well, I began training when I was 6 years old. Basically, there's this little competition every year with the schools, and I kept winning it. So I won it at 6, I won it at 7, I won it at 8. Then all the kids were supposed to draw pictures of what they wanted to do when they grew up, and I thought, wait a minute, you get presents and flowers if you become a singer. So that's when I started. You don't really start vocal training until your voice changes or starts to change. So I took acting classes and dancing classes, which didn't take. Then I started lessons when I was 15, 16.
Would you say, though, that generally, even though there's the voice change, that the age 6 or 7, basically a young age, is a good one to start or to begin singing, to realize that this is something you could do later on?
Definitely. And more than singing, you can start learning piano then. You can start learning your music theory, because people don't realize it's not like American Idol or Czech Idol, if there is such a thing. Once you get to university, if you're taking music, you are expected to know how to play piano, to know how to do music theory, which is a lot like math, and it's so much easier at 6 than if you learn at 16.
It must take an incredible amount of dedication, though, and hard work. Did it impact your childhood in that sense? Did you have a childhood?
Oh, no. When you're a singer, you don't actually sing all that much. It's not like when you're a violinist and you practice 6 hours a day. Pretty much you just go around singing, and you get, as I said, flowers and presents. So it's pretty sweet.
As a teen, did you have any sort of favorite things that you liked performing?
At that point, Phantom of the Opera had just come out, so we all wanted to be in Phantom. We were all emo, and we thought, oh, if only someone would kidnap me and take me to the opera. Yeah, so that's pretty much all of us taking singing lessons had the same goal at that point, but it changed.
As a soprano, do you specialize more in dramatic roles, or do you focus more on recitals?
It's interesting. I've sung quite a few lyric roles. So that's La Fée, so the fairy, and Massenet's Cendrillon, and the Cinderella story. I've done Queen of the Night before. I sang that in Israel, which is a more dramatic role, but you can sing it if you have a lighter voice. What else? I've sung several lyric roles, but lately I've done a lot of shows that aren't opera, that are quasi-classical. So it's not classical music exactly. And it's, as a result, it's more dramatic and less lyrical, because if it's, say, Edith Piaf music, she smoked and she drank and she had quite the life, so you need to growl a lot, which is not exactly what you're taught to sing, but it's fun.
And how exactly do you prepare for that, then? Do you have to go...
You don't smoke. You don't drink. Yeah, it's just a different way of singing, and it's interesting. There, good vocal technique, there is only really one way to sing well. You can take those skills and use them other ways. But there is only really proper support is proper support. Proper vocal production is proper vocal production. But taking that, you can use that as a basis and play around with it and do things your teachers would be shocked at, but in a healthy way. So make it sound as if it's unhealthy, even though it isn't.
Regarding your dramatic roles, I just recently saw a performance of The Magic Flute in Prague, so it's fresh in my memory. Did you enjoy the role of Queen of the Night?
Well, there's not much to the role. If you know The Magic Flute, you come on stage 3 times. You come on once, sing your first aria. Come on a second time, sing the aria everybody knows. And then come on at the end and look defeated. That's pretty much it. Aside from basically pointing and looking angry, there's not all that much to do in that role. It's more about vocal fireworks. The costume I was given was too small. So I was more concerned with the fact that I really shouldn't have been in public in that dress. That was my big concern with that. It kept ripping. The slit just kept getting higher and higher. It was sequin. If I did it again, hopefully I could concentrate more on the acting and the singing and less on the fact that my mom wouldn't have approved about how much people were seeing.
It's an interesting point that's often forgotten, though, when you're involved in any kind of performance or artwork. There's always tons of behind-the-scenes things that generally the audience doesn't realize that you have to grapple with to put out your best. It's not just coming on and doing the job and going home.
Exactly.
How did you get involved in the American Spring?
I sang quite a few concerts over the years with the Canadian government, with the different embassies in different countries, and I knew one of the ambassadors who knew an ambassador here a few years ago, and he mentioned that I would love to do a concert to the ambassador here, and that ambassador, I believe, got in touch with the Dvorak Society, and I'm really lucky. They're fantastic. I've gotten pretty free rein on programs, so I've gotten to sing some things that I generally don't get to sing, and it's a lovely place to premiere pieces.
What are you going to be performing this year?
I'm performing several different pieces. I'm doing a group of Edith Piaf songs, because everyone loves Edith Piaf songs, or you should. From Phantom of the Opera, just because everyone loves Phantom of the Opera. So it's been pretty popular here whenever I've done a piece from that. It depends on which concerts. The ones with piano, I'm doing a set of Handel music. I'm doing a set of music from The Music Man and Carousel, so old school musicals. A few other opera arias. Now, what's really interesting is the set that I'm doing with the orchestra, there's Hebrew music, some sung in Hebrew, some sung in Czech. There's some Dvorak songs, Večerne písně and Dobru noc. And there are also more Edith Piaf songs. And with the orchestra, they commissioned arrangements of the pieces. So these are different arrangements than anyone has ever heard before.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And yeah. They're beautiful.
As a layman, I'm curious, with someone with your experience, do nerves ever play a role?
As far as the singing, no, because vocally, I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty steady with that. As far as the pronouncing the check, it is. It is stressful for me because I don't want to sound ill-prepared. And I want to sound good. I want to do the songs justice. So I'm always a little nervous singing the check, but I have fun with it.
And does that mean that you have to work with somebody, with a Czech coach, to get the language right?
Well, I've worked with the people here. I've coached with them. I've coached with, so far, some guy on the bus, someone at the airport, someone on the subway. I just keep reading the Czech to different people, and they give me a funny look and help me with it.
Reading about your career, I was amazed how many different projects you're involved with. It's not just the singing. You also write, and you wrote something called Europe, the Savvy Girl's Guide. I wanted to ask you about that.
I wrote that in 2007, and I had been to Europe to sing several times, mostly in the Western countries, so largely in France, largely in Italy, and a bit in Belgium. And I realized that for a woman or a girl going to Europe for the first few times, there really isn't a book out there that tells you what to do, or even more importantly, what not to do. It doesn't tell you how to pack, how to communicate with people back at home above just email, about how to get a local SIM card, what to do if you're caught without a ticket on the subway, what to do if you miss your flight or your train. And pretty much, I've been in all of these situations, so it's really just a record of the stupid things that I've done, but as a cautionary tale. And I'm working on the second edition of that now. I have two other books that I've written that my agent has pitched out and hopefully will be published soon. So I don't have any time, but I'm working on all of this.
And the cover illustration, I don't know if there's illustrations in the actual book, but the cover was done by yourself as well.
Yes, just a doodle. It's what happens if you don't have a real job. You have lots of time to do all these other things.
You also reworked it for the stage?
I did. It's a three-person musical. We've done it in Saskatoon and in Edmonton, so two Canadian cities. And hopefully we'll do it other places. It's hard to cast it, to find three people. I've always had to be in it because I would prefer to just direct it. I would love to do it again and find three people and rehearse it properly and do a mounting of it. It's just silly. It's a silly musical and it's fun.
All the different things that you're involved with. What about film? Because on your website, there's a clip of a job you had as an extra, basically what seems to be a fairly dark thriller, and the scene lasts maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds?
Not very long. That was 2 days of filming for that 5 or 6 seconds. Good food. I'm in New York most of the year, and when I'm in New York, I do work as an extra quite often. I've been on quite a few commercials, too. I've sung on commercials for Microsoft, Office 2010, and all these things. You spend most of the day sitting around and stealing food from the food cart. So there's a lot of time to get your own work done. And you meet some crazy people.
I don't want to belittle it in any way. I've been an extra, and I know a little bit about what the experience is like.
It's pretty bad.
But it seems impossible to think about that kind of job and not think of the Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant series, which has kind of changed the whole perspective or the whole view of extras forever.
It has, definitely.
And it seemed to me that your inclusion of it on your website also, that you were poking a bit of fun at yourself, that you're on screen for the whole 2 seconds.
Exactly. It's two glorious seconds. What's really sad is my friends back home, the friends I went to high school with, they don't care about opera. They don't care about any of this other stuff. But if they see you've been on Law and Order in the background, that is the most, they're like, you've made it. I wish I were you. So that's one. And that's another reason I put it on, just because it's not important. But if they think it's that important, why not?
Now, your work takes you all around the world. You travel intensively, Europe, South America, Near East. When you do get home, what do you look forward to?
All right, so there's two homes. So we're going with Edmonton/Calgary and also New York. It's hard to live in New York. It's fun, but you always have roommates because life is expensive in New York. So you live with roommates, not always great roommates, and usually in the plural. So there's three or four people living in an apartment. Not a great area. They're never that clean. You don't have a car, so buying food is a pain. Going groceries is shopping, or doing laundry involves just a lot of sweaty hauling through the city. But there's something about New York that no other place has. So usually I dread going back a little bit, and then I get off the plane and I think, finally, I'm back. I'm never going to leave. I miss the fact that you can just go out in New York and you never know what's going to happen. And there's always something interesting that does happen. which I have also found here, and any European city I've often found. You can just go walking and adventures will happen.
I want to thank you very much and best of luck with your performances this year.
Thank you so much.
Opera singer Melanie Gall there, ending that edition of Arts by Jan Wellinger. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Radio Prague's special Czech language course, which looks at idioms concerning wild flora. All that's left for today's lesson are flowers.
Květiny.
About exceptional people, especially with outstanding moral qualities, Czechs say
vzácná květina,
a rare flower, or
vzácná bylina,
a rare herb. Staying with valued human qualities, the daisy is sometimes called
chudobka,
a name which is derived from the word
chudý
or poor. That's why we can say
je skromná jako chudobka.
She is as modest as a daisy. The word
kvítí
means a multitude of flowers, and in idioms, the word symbolizes plenty. If Czechs say
bylo tam lidí jako kvítí,
there were as many people as flowers, they mean there was a large crowd. Staying with the word, there is one nice rhyming proverb.
Pro jedno kvítí slunce nesvítí.
The sun does not shine for one flower. The saying is usually applied in order to console somebody whose love is not requited or who cannot get over a broken relationship. It is to say that the person in question is not the only potential object of affection in the world. A similar word is
kvítko.
In some parts of the country, it simply means a flower. But if you apply it to a person, it implies a certain roguishness. The saying usually goes
on je pěkné kvítko.
He's a little rascal. Or we can say
je to čertovo kvítko.
She's the devil's flower. She's a little devil. In many languages, women are associated with flowers. They often get their first names after flowers. Flowers are the most typical gifts for women. And last but not least, women and girls are sometimes likened to flowers. The Czech language is no exception in this respect. For example,
je to děvče jako květ.
The girl is like a flower. That is a very flattering comparison. About young girls, we can say
děvče jako poupátko.
A girl like a rosebud. Women's eyes can be likened to a number of flowers in Czech, especially if they are blue.
Oči jako čekanky.
Eyes like chicory flowers.
Oči jako chrpy.
Eyes like blue bottles.
Jako fialky.
Like violets, or
jako poměnky.
Like forget-me-nots. So that's all for today, I'm afraid, but you can join us next time for another edition of the ABC of Czech. Until then, it's goodbye.
Naschledanou.
That was Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.